They said they bumped into it. I don't remember, but I don't know. Again, I'm sorry I'm a little bit late. I didn't make it down today, but we will continue with the meetings hopefully on Thursday, unless other unpredictable things come up. Okay, so we're in the middle of discussing the... I want to finish off with the Rambam, and then I want to talk about some of the other Shittos. And again, already for Thursday, I'm not sure if we'll finish everything Thursday, but we should already start just going through the Shaka Vitaria, starting from Beis Amud Aleph, which we already read, but through the bottom of Beis, through Beis Amud Base. And we already talked about the language of Kinyan, which we'll speak more about. But maybe we'll start off with, again, we did this a little bit in Ksuvis, but we have to do it a little bit again, the discussion of Bal Korchach, which is the Gemara's Hava Min on Beis Amud Beis, just to read through that Gemara. What did the Gemara have in mind when it considered that Kiddushin could be possibly Bal Korcha de Isha? Let's start with that, and then we'll try to pursue the implications of it. So just... for now, just go through the Shaka Vitaria of the Gemara and the Gemara Rashi Tosis, basically, some of which we've seen already. Try to look at the question of the Habit of the Gemara Kiddushin Bal Korchach in terms of the Rishonim Al Atar, just to start with, and then I'll give you more of a list. The Rajba, and again, the citation of the Bala Itur, very important. Of course, you have to compare that with the sugya in Bava Basra and Daf Mem Ches, the sugya of Taluyev Zav and Zvini and Zvini, and for the Itur, Taluyev Akani, whether we say Kinyano Kinyan, that's an interesting phrase. And the Mi'iri Alatar, Mi'iri has two things to look for. Number one, the way he treats the Bal Korcha issue, but also the question of what the Girsa in the Gemara was with regard to Kinyan, right? Is this a typical Kinyan or not? That's also an important point in the Miri. And the Rimi Lunil, which is found separately, and I think in the Shitas Kadmonim, I think, but it's also in the Kamai here. It's in this book, the Shitas Kamai.
They have a new print.
What's that?
They have a new print now.
A new
print.
Of?
Of Rimi Lunil.
Oh, yeah? With more material or different material or same thing?
No, I think they went through more Kisveya.
Maybe just a little Girsa here and there.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with that, and in terms of Nisuin, which is where we discussed a little bit in the Ksuvas part, just to also look at the Tosis in on Daf Beis Amud Aleph in Ksuvas, right? The language of Aisha Nises and the Shittim Gubetzis and the Marsha there, just very very quickly, and again we'll have to speak a little more about that question, and then I'll give you some other things to look at in terms of. The level of das required. This is an issue that's going to come up throughout the first parak. The relationship between husband and wife in terms of das, the kiddushin. Who needs more das, the husband or the wife? On the one hand, the husband is the initiator, and he's the dominant force in creating the ishus and in initiating the action of kiddushin, the ma'isa kiddushin. That's key. Well, something we'll discuss also. Ki yikach ish isha v'lo kiti lakach isha li'ish. On the other hand, she's the one who's he's the koneh. That's another point. On the other hand, she is the nikneh, and or the makneh. She's makneh satzma. And the truth is that on another level, and this is something that the Sefer Batim strongly emphasized. We still have to go through the Sefer Batim. We're not finished with the makoros that we already gave. She is the one whose level of commitment is greatest in this process, because Min HaTorah, right, he can be Megaresh and Bal Korcha, and she cannot. So in a certain sense, while her role as an actor, as a protagonist in the creation, let's say, of the Ishus, is more passive, but the level of commitment to it is much greater. So that's an interesting question to try to figure out, the role of Rotzon and Das for the man and for the woman, and to compare it to other Kinyanim. And for that, we'll also just have to add, some other Makaros, in terms of Ketana and things of that sort. But let's just, you know, get our feet wet first, and then I'll give you more things to look at in that regard. Okay. Today we have to finish off with our discussion of the Rambam. Our discussion of the Rambam, and try to get through, if we can, some other shittos, the Ravid, the Ramban, Rashi, Unkelus. What are the other views on Kadesha? But that will go more, hopefully, more quickly. So before we do that, we just have some things still to discuss in the Rambam. So what we've seen so far is that it seems like there are two perspectives on the Rambam's view in Kadesha, right? And it flows from two things. Number one, the ambiguity of Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet, the idea of emphasizing Derech Znus on the one hand, but anything outside the framework of Ishus on the other. The question is, which of these formulations, right, needs to be qualified in light of the other? Are we saying a, you know, spectacular chiddush in halacha and in formulation and in lamdas by saying that anything outside the frame, all things being equal, right, anything pretty much outside the framework of Ishus is by definition a hagdara of derech znus, right? That's both a practical and a conceptually strong statement, and that's what the Rambam means. Or are we saying something more conventional? And what the Rambam is really, really saying is that there are two conditions for Kadesha. One is that it be outside of the marriage, right? Because even though there could be derech znus inside of a marriage, right? And that's the Rambam l'shitaso too, right? Because a mekadesh b'lo shiduchin and a mekadesh b'shuk is also called hergel znus, and compared to kadesha, even if it isn't kadesha. So, you know, this alternative is to say that, you know, in order to be a kadesha, you need two things. You need derech znus, and you need outside of the ishus. Derech znus, inside the ishus, is like kadesha, but it isn't kadesha. Or the Rambam, as I mentioned, in Perikin Beis, what is it, Halacha Ches, of Hilchas Ishus, where he, you know, quotes the language of the Mishnah, but he shouldn't have. In other words, based on how he paskins in the debate between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda, in the sugya in the fifth parak of Ksuvas about poches, b'ksuva mipsula masayim u'me'almana mana, the language of hareza bi'ilaz nus, the Rambam should not have, you know, paskined that way. And also, the way that he understands it is just different than that mandamar in the Gemara. It sounds like the Rambam really thinks that the effort to have an easier exit strategy in your marriage by downgrading the value of the ksuva is itself like a form of znus inside the marriage. But of course it's inside the marriage because there's still a marriage. So what I'm suggesting is that there are two, on the one hand there are two ways to read the Rambam, each of which is mechudash, but, you know, one is that kol shehu chutz le'ishus harei hu znus, for all purposes, and that's a lamdasha legal statement, and the mechayiv is the chutz b'ishus, or that, you know, there are two requirements. Number one, derech znus, and number two, outside the ishus, but that would, of course, imply that not every case outside ishus is kadesha, but that you need some sort of a, you know, hergel znus, derech znus, mufkeres lakol, or something like that. So the formulation of the Rambam, which invokes two conditions, and we're not sure which qualifies which, already raises this question. The other thing that, of course, raises it, or makes it complicated, is the fact that the Rambam deals with this topic elsewhere as well, in Hilchos Nahar Basula, where he says, he definitely is addressing this question in, you know, in very explicit way, but, you know, that doesn't mean that there aren't ambiguities, or that it's in a very clear way. And the proof is that the Rambam's formulation in the Arab Sulu, which we read last time, has been understood in different ways. There's a group of Nosa Kalim. I'm just going to document the Nosa Kalim in just one more minute. that understood that the Rambam in Nara Basula was, which says that there's a difference between Hichina es Atzma and so on, as opposed to Akrai, it was understood by numerous of the Mefarshim to be saying, maybe even the Raivet, that you require Derech Znus, or Mufkeres Lakol. That's how it was understood by Nosekelem. We'll document this in just a moment. If that's not consistent with Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet, so again, if you read it that way, then maybe you should read Aleph Dalet the alternative way, as we just discussed, and that's what some of the Nosekelem say, including the Kesav Mishnah, which we'll look inside in a minute, in Nara Basula. But if not, then we have to examine more carefully what the Rambam really says in Hilchos Nara, and apparently it's not what the Raivid says in Hilchos Ishus. We'll say it that way. In which case, and that's the suggestion that I made, the Rambam is not so much speaking about akroi, meaning not, you know, regila or mufkeres lakol, etc., but he's speaking about lack of hachana, lack of haskama, you know, lack of a thought out maisa, you know. This is not malachas machshevas, is basically what he's saying. In which case, there's no stira at all, but you just kind of wonder, like, in why should malachas machshevas? I don't mean it literally. Meaning, hachana v'haskama, you know, mimuchshav. Why should that be a factor in Yisurei Bia? Like, where is it a factor in Yisurei Bia? That it should be a factor in Znus is understandable, you know, per se, if we're talking about Mufkeres Lakol or something like that. But otherwise, like, what's going on? So again, Sefer HaMitzvos, which is the third Makar, definitely seems to zero in not on Mufkeres, but on Bechira and Das and Haskama and Achana, even more so than Nara Basula. And in light of Sefer HaMitzvos Shun and Hey, the reading of Nara Basula, I think, becomes more compelling. So that's another factor to consider. And then, of course, given the Raivid's question, so we need to explain not only Pitui, which is Nara Basula and Sefer HaMitzvos, but also Pilegesh. If Pilegesh is an institution in Halacha, says the Raivid, then how can Kadesha be expansively Osir? And that's where we zeroed in on the Rambam's Shita, that, you know, is it a coincidence that the Rambam thinks that Pilegesh is only permissible for a melech and for no one else? Again, the Ramban denied that. We'll look at the responses to that in a second. The Ramban in the Tshuva thinks the Rambam didn't say that. Did he have a different gears on the Rambam or a different understanding of the Rambam? The Nosekelim are shocked already about that. But either way, the Pashtos, that's what the Rambam says, but we then need to answer the questions that others asked, which are like, Heichan Matzinu, Mishpat Echad Yelachem, that a melech, you know, we're more mekil in a melech's Isurim, right? And that is certainly a very good question. What is really going on? Okay. So, before we get to our perspective, I just want to document a little bit what the Nosekelim say about these, because this is... All these four Rambams are on the table here, and you know, at least three out of the four, anyway, are really interpreted in different ways, and it's just useful to investigate that. And then we also need to look at the language a little more in and you know, some of the discussion in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, Bar Perikid Beis and Perik Tesvav and Perikid Ches, just to fill out the picture. Yeah. That's what base. And the Rambam discussion of Kesav Mishnah. What? Oh, okay. What do you want to say from the language? I mean, he doesn't mention Kadesha. Okay. So, let's talk about the Nosekelem first. Everybody already knows what position I'll repeat it just for a second, and then we'll elaborate more fully. But what I'm suggesting, obviously, is, you know, we already got on the table, and that is that the Rambam in Perek Aleph Hilchos Ishus is parallel to Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, that the Rambam is trying to tell you, the Lumdus, that anything outside of Ishus, all things being equal, you know, with maybe one exception, is an exception that proves the rule, right? Is basically in the category of Znus, that for this reason the Rambam discusses this in Hilchos Ishus and not in Isuri Bia, which is, I think, what the Kesef Mishnah is bothered by, that for this reason, you know, to answer the question of the Ramach and the Magid Mishnah, right, Goya does not come under the category of Kadesha, because, again, they said, he said, because it's Xeris HaKasuv, even though it really logically seems to be problematic. And what I'm saying is, no, if the Mechayev is Ishus, then somebody who's Mufka Meishus is not defying Ishus. So that's the reason that non-Jew is excluded. The Minchas Chinuch does partially, I'll talk about the Minchas Chinuch also, does partially give that answer. He says, well, Akum is just Mufka from Kiddushin, so that's just not... He thinks anybody Mufka from Kiddushin, perhaps, Ketana even, whatever, if you got some shot, anybody Mufka mi Kiddushin, Minchas Chinuch thinks, might be Mufka from Kadesha. But I'll read that inside a little bit later on. But for our specific reasons, as we know. So I was basically interpreting the Rambam that way. It was brought up already that the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Halacha Zayin, we'll talk about a little more, right, talks about Chayve Lavin, right, and omits Kadesha. By the way, that is a question that is asked by the Lecha Mishnah. The question is, what does he mean in his answer? But he does ask the question, and it's also brought up a little bit by Rav Avram Ben Arambam in that Kesef Mishnah discussion in Pesvav Beis of Yisrael Rabia, which we'll read inside in just a moment. Right? So how come Kadesha is omitted? So you could say, oh, because he just mentioned it in Halacha Dalet. But still, Halacha Zayin seems to be a list of Yisrael. So why is Kadesha not there? So if somebody can get the language of the Lecha Mishnah, that would be good. And then when we read a Tesvav Beis and Rav Avram Rambam, we'll see what he says there also. But you have it? Isaac?
Olive
Zion? Yeah, Olive Zion. Yeah. So he gives an answer. He asks a question, which is important, and he gives an answer. The question is how to emphasize the answer. So I think there are two points in what he's saying. I'm just trying to be, again, honest about it. What I want him to answer, and what I think he certainly overlappingly is answering, is what we said the other day, which is that the whole point here in Perek Aleph Hilchos Ishus is about the chiyuv, the urgency of kedushin, the slap in the face to the institution, and also what happens when you don't have it. Both of these, that's a little bit of a tricky relationship that overlaps and has some impact on some issues that we'll discuss. Meaning there are two points. Number one, it is part of the Mechayev here is the attack on Ishus as an institution, which you are, you know, kumvase type of, rather than Sheval Taisa type of ignoring, right? At the same time, this is the overlapping tricky part a little bit, is it that, or is it that, you know, without Ishus, there's never a heter? Objectively, you need Ishus in order to inject heter or non-znus into a relationship. Okay. Or certainly once there is such a potential of Ishus as opposed to Bnei Noach. So what I prefer, the idea of the Rambam being here and why it's in Hilchos Ishus and why it's, you know, mimicking Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph and everything else and things that we'll add, is the idea that the Mechayev here is the lack of Ishus. So basically, that's the last words. Those last words, if you don't mind, one more time, just of the Lecha Mishnah, and then I'll get back to the previous sentence. The problem here is not the Isha, the problem here is the lack of Kiddusha. So, but I think another way to read the Lecha Mishnah would have been to say, to emphasize the other part of this, which I think is also true, and I don't think it's stira. I think both of these are true. And that is that the other cases that are cited in Halacha Zayin are, here I'm going to use a phrase of Rambam, in Perek Tezvav, Halacha Beis, they are, am I saying this right? The other cases are cases of, how are they characterized in the Rambam, Halacha Aleph Zayin? Of Isurei Lavin, right? I'm trying to remember which is which. As opposed to Chayvei Lavin, right? Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin is Isurei Lavin. To use this phrase, which we'll read inside in just a couple of minutes, because you have to read it a few times to get what he's saying, for a, you know, Rabbi Rama makes this distinction. He says, Kadesha is Michaive Lavin, but it's not Me Isure Lavin. Like, what's that? What is that? Right? So I think that's kind of what the Lecha Mishnah is saying here, which is, at minimum, what he's saying is the other cases that are listed there are prohibited because of the relationship between the parties. In other words, you know, a grusha, you know, lekohen, a mamzer, you know, of course, you know, the real arayos, you know, that are chayvei krisus. Being the problem is the reason that there's bia asura and the reason that there is a problem is because of that maisa, you know, bia, is because of the person. These two people cannot interact, and therefore their physical intimacy is a maisa vera. Right? We'll call that, to use Rav Avraham Ben Arambam's terminology, they are begavra, they are isure lavin. But a kdesha, there's nothing wrong with the gavra. Right, the problem is this is a marriageable candidate. It's not the lack of, you know, a potential, you know, a relationship that can't be ezer kenegdo with such a person. On the contrary, so again, what I'm trying to say, to be honest, is that you could have just said that. You could have said, oh, you know why the Rambam leaves this out? Because it's different. Because he's listing the people who are not, who not only who are isure bia, but who also are just not have Isurei Bia because they're not marriageable. This is Perek Aleph Hilchos Ishus. End of story. Now, you could say that without saying what I'm saying, which is one other point, and that is the Mechayiv and the Oser of Kadesha happens to be, right, the ignoring of, the trashing of, the implied trashing of, or, you know, the bypassing of, and therefore, you know, not elevating and therefore eroding, you know, this bia. You could have just said the verse. But what I think Lecha Mishnah is saying is both, right? Number one, if the relationship here was in the marriage, you know, between these parties, and it also expressed itself as Isurei bia, you know, that would be one thing. But here, it's exactly the opposite. You know, if anything, you have a great marital candidate, right? And you're bypassing marriage, and the Mechayiv is the bypassing. You don't have to say that in the Lecha Mishnah. But he really says both of these things. Okay. So I think that also is just a great way of saying there's a difference between Chayvei Lavin and Isurei Lavin, right? One is in the relationship, the other is not. Now, it does raise the question which I want to get back to, which is, so will there be Kadesha according to the Rambam, even according to my, you know, and the Nosa Kalim's expansive reading of the Rambam, right? You know, when will it apply and when won't it apply? For example, what about, we just talked about Goya, right? There I'm saying apples and oranges, Mufka Lagamri, so that's why it's Chumrah, it's Kula when it comes to Kadesha. This doesn't register in terms of the issue of Kadesha. Fine. And what about Chayve Krisus, right? If you marry, if you have a relationship with Chayve Krisus, is it a violation of Krisus And again, you won't get malchus, maybe, but, or maybe, you know, is it also a violation of Kadesha on some level? Or will you say what I said about, it's not the same, but it's in the continuum, right? On the other hand, you have a Yisraelis who has, she could be married to somebody, right? On the other hand, this particular relationship is one which is mufka miishus. So here will you say, you know, the paradigm of Akum, or will you say the paradigm of bypassing Yishus? And whatever, if you want to say when it comes to Chayvei Krisus that there's no Kadesha, because again, the Chumra is the Kula, right? So what will you say? But again, as opposed to saying that, you know, Klal Yisrael has the potential of Yishus, and therefore not doing that isn't, forget about the slap on the face to the Yishus or the bypassing, etc. But it's more about, well, anything else is then Znus al Pidin. Okay, so isn't there also a Znus outside of Yishus element for the Chayvei Krisus? That's where this difference in, very subtle difference in formulation may be important. Whatever you say about, if you say about Chayvei Krisus that it's like Akum, so then the next question is going to be, Arye? If you say that Chayvei Krisus we're going to treat like Akum, I'm not sure about it, and therefore there's no Yisur Kadesha at all, then the next question to investigate for the Rambam would be?
Where's the line?
I'm sorry?
Where is the line?
Yeah. What case? What cases?
What cases would there be?
If we knew that Chayvei Krisus, if we concluded that Chayvei Krisus were not subject to Kadesha, even though we're not sure about that, I've just given a suggestion that you could be Mechalek or you could go with it. What's the next thing to look at in the continuum? Chayvei Lavin. Because in Chayvei Lavin there is Tfisas Kedushin even for this woman, right? So obviously the paradigm with Akum is not exactly. But at the same time, if the Mechayev is the slap in the face to the institution, right? Not just, you know, what that does to defining what constitutes Znus inside and outside, then, well, the question of Chayvei Lavin, Kedushin being Tofes on the one hand, but the Iser at the same time is very curious. And especially if we think that the Iser of Chayvei Lavin is because this is not an appropriate marital partner, which we'll discuss. The whole point is that a kohen shouldn't be marrying a gerusha, right? And that a mamzeris is not allowed to be yavo bakal. So in a way, that makes the Isur Kadesha worse, right? Because the whole point is you shouldn't have marriage here, and isn't that kind of, isn't Kadesha about promoting marriage? But on another level, if you ask me instinctively what I think, I would say, on another level, you know, even though the Kedushin is Tofes, we just don't look at the problem of Chayvei Lavin in terms of lack of Kedushin because it's not an appropriate Kedushin. So once again, what you might end up saying is that in Chayvei Lavin there's no Kadesha for the Rama. I'm not saying that any time there's another Iser, I'm saying any time there's another Iser which flows from the inappropriateness of this as a marital relationship. So then you have to try to figure out, you know, again, in different Chayvei Lavin, is it Isurei Lavin or Chayvei Lavin? To use, again, Rav Avraham and Rambam's, you know, terminology in Tesvav base. Yeah?
Just in regards to the question about Chayvei Lavin, don't we in general say, like, for example, by you, right, that even though generally we have a requirement by you that you have to be married, able to marry her, even Chayvei Lavin, we assume you're allowed to sell your daughter, one of the Chayvei Lavin.
Right, but that's because that is true, and that becomes, we'll discuss it, because that's an important Yehud question, right? To what extent Yehud really has to, you know, actually befoal, you know, have the potential, or whether or not you even look at Amma Ivriya to begin with, and the only reason maybe you justify it is because of the marital, you know, potential. Meaning, how much is that Exeris HaKasuv and a peripheral, you know, possibility or prospect? Or how much is it an equal or defining, or maybe even an Ikar prospect in Yair. But in the end of the day, right, there still is Ama Ivriya, which is not Yehud. But if we're saying that the Oser, the Mechayev of Kadesha, is right the demonstrated rejection of the method of Kiddushin, then we might say that requires more than Tfisas Kiddushin. It requires that this be an appropriate Kiddushin. At least that's going to be an open question. We'll see that some of the Nosakalim and some of the Mefarshim and Achronim actually think that the Rambam holds that, you know, in the cases of even what we're calling Isurei Lavin, that there really is an Isur Kadesha, right? But in the Rambam itself, I think that never registers, and it's curious that people put it in, but it's really not there. Yeah, Shmuel. Because, and that also makes sense. Meaning, being involved with somebody who's imadoma lechamor, in which there's an iser of chasnus, is an indication of worse, right? Both in terms of the incompatibility of the maisabia per se, or you're not even taking somebody or involved with somebody who you could marry. Right? So it is a parallel opposite. But, which is poetic, and sensible. And that's what we're going to explore exactly when we talk about, who the other Rishonim think Kadesha applies to. That's actually something which we're going to get back to, Baruch Shekivanti, I guess, to what you're saying. But 100%, that's not problematic. That's very sensible, right? There are often things that you can look at, for the same reason in opposite ways. Yeah.
Spectrum of?
So Nida, again, Nida's, I'm glad you brought it up. We know what the Rambam Shita is about Nida, right? Again, the Rambam Shita is that Nisuin is a problem of Nida, because the Rambam holds that, in Perek Yud, we'll talk about it when we get to it, in Perek Yud Chosishas, the Rambam holds that Chuppah Hainu Yichud, and therefore Chuppas Nida is a huge problem. He still may think it's Lo Gamra Ha'ishus, as opposed to not being applicable at all. But we also know that the Rambam Shita, when it comes to Erusin, is that, based on the Gemara, is that even though it's Chayvei Krisus, B'di'eved, it is Chal. Right? Now, the Rambam does say, L'chatchila, you should not marry Nishanid. What is this? Perek Dalid, Halacha Yudbeis? Do we have a language? Dalid Yudbeis? Is it Dalid Yudbeis? You have it?
Yeah,
go ahead. So the Kedushin Kedushin Gemurim is Gemaras. Gemaras in Yevamos, Gemaras in Kedushin, I'm sorry, Nida, right? That's clear. It's fascinating, I should add, since we won't have a chance to talk about this elsewhere that I can see of in this limud, but there's a major debate among the Rishonim how to assess Nida, because Nida appears in the context of the Parsha of Arayos and its Chayvei Krisus on the one hand, right? On the other hand, when it comes to Tfisas Kedushin and Mamzer, as we know, it's not like other Arayos. So Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yashar and the Bali Tosas kind of play with this, in the beginning of Yevamos and other places, says, it isn't really Arayos. That it's in the Parsha of Arayos to teach you that it's Kares, but, really the point is that Nida isn't really Arayos. It's Chai Bekrisis, but it's not Arayos. And the Rambam, and this is one example of it, Perek Dalet Halachi Yud Beis that you just read, what does he say again? Go ahead. Yeah. The Chutz Minida is saying it is an Arayos, but, and the Rambam says this in numerous places throughout Yad HaChazaka, he always calls Nida an Arayos. I think this is also the Rambam's view, that how Torah Shebichsav defines things matter. I think that's part of this Divrei Sofrim view. So when we get to Divrei Sofrim, just remind me to get back to this point. The Rambam always thinks that how the Torah Shebitzav presents things is conceptually important. That, I think, is a key truth in the Rambam in general, and the key to understanding his perspective on Divrei Sofrim. Okay, let the secret out of the bag. But the point is, the Tfisas Kiddushin is clear. What about the Eino Osa L'chatchila? So if you look at the Nosa Kalim, some of them say, we're worried that if he gives a tabas, you know, that he will have physical contact, you know, with the Nida, and that, of course, is prohibited. And that's what we're talking about. Others think that, no, maybe, I always thought, maybe, this has to do with the relationship between Kiddushin and Nisuin. On the one hand, the Rambam is the hardest of all the Rishonim that Nisui Nida is a problem, right? On the other hand, you know, Kiddushin is Chal. But since the Kiddushin can't turn into Nida, can't turn into Nisuin, so maybe there's a Lechatchila. If you want to, you know, pay a little bit of homage, I guess, to the Rav Avram, then a Rambam, or the Meiri's, Bo Yoser Medishlucho, and therefore Kiddushin Shniim, because the Shliach can't do the Nisuin part. So maybe that's a little bit the pshat in the Rambam. However, to answer your question, it's a very good question. You know, the reason that the Rabbeinu Tam Udi'imei didn't think it was really a rayos, and even the Rambam who thinks it's a rayos, right? The bigger, you know, point. So Rishonim try to struggle a little bit. They say, well, if it is a rayos and it's krisa, so like, what's the problem? And essentially, this is what Tosis in the beginning of Tosin Yavamas is talking about, Yibum, right? Who's Ola Leibum and Lechalitza? So the principle generally is that if you have Chayve Krisis or Erva, then that's Mufka Meibum. So Tosis is addressing the question there, like, so how come Ishta Nida isn't Mufka Meibum? So what they're all struggling to say, so again, some of them say because it isn't really Erva, it's just a Parsha of Erva. Okay, fine. But what they're really, really also in addition to that struggle to say is that the problem of Nida is not a problem of the relationship. Right? Every woman is an Ishta Nida. Ishta Nida is not a relationship issue. Every other Erva but Nida, which may be why it's not Erva or maybe why it's a different Erva, right, is about, you know, Achoso, Imo, Eshes Aviv, you know, and so on. These are relationship problems. And as such, one of the lines in terms of Yibum, right, where you don't even need Chalitza, is exactly that. If it's Erva, because there can't be a relationship. Let's say he sees Achos Ishtacha, right? So it's Mufka Lagamri. But even if the moment when the Zika began, you know, was relevant, and in that moment she was a Nida, right? That's not a relationship problem. So I would say exactly the same thing by Kadesha. To say that Kadesha, right, Kadesha is Nitan the Kiddushin. I mean, if you have an Isha Nida who is not your wife, right, and you have a relationship there, so in that circumstance, it could very well be that you'd violate Kadesha too. Even though maybe you wouldn't violate Kadesha, according to my understanding of the Rambam, in the case of maybe even Chayve Lavin. Right? How could Chayve Krisus not eclipse Kadesha when Chayve Lavin is? The answer is that's what we mean. Hearkening back to Abraham Rambam's language, we'll see about what he says. You know, that's the difference between Yisurei Lavin and Chayve Lavin. Here it's, you know, you can call it Isurei Kares, not Chayve Kares. I don't mean you're not Chayev. I mean, it's not a din in the Gavra. Yeah?
I guess I'm just curious how it works out with Isha Haru'i Yolo,
Nas, and Onis. No, so what I was saying the other day, I don't want to get into that too much right now, but just very briefly, one of the things I was saying the other day is, if this pshat is correct, is it a coincidence that Onis and Mefata, which seemed to be the weak link in the Rambam's Panuya Bala Panuya Kadesha, right, also happen to be where you have the chiyuv to marry her. Right?
I was saying that you get shtats even if it's highly loaded.
Okay. And therefore, why is that a problem? Because there the mechayiv of the knas is not just bypassing the ishus, it's also the exploitation of the person. The only thing that we're also adding is, well, why isn't there kadesha? And the answer to that is because it's fun, in the case of pitui, is that it's fundamentally a cry. But that's fine. I'm just also adding, in addition to that, that the fact that there's a chiyuv to marry in that case, where the only case where there's of that type, where there's no meaning of pani ba pnuya, where there's no kadesha, is also probably not a coincidence. And that also is, that's where, if somebody could just bring out the language in Nara Basula, Aleph Gimel, that I referred to. That is, whoever it is, come away. Everybody have that language? Good. Yeah, that's, you're reading Nara Aleph Gimel? Is it Aleph Gimel? I think so, right?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Hamafuta shelo rotza linase lebate o shelo rotza via litna lo o shelo rotza hu lichnos hareze nosin knasa v'holich ve'in kufino so lichnos vim rotzu v'konsa eino mishalim knas ela kusi v'lok suva kishara basulos.
Yeah, so that's what the Ram says, that she gets a ksuva kishara basulos, right? So just look at the... I just want to get it on the record because we've made reference to it. What does the Mishnah Malach say? Right, that's a... There's no makor for the Rambam.
Yep.
Quotes Rashi?
Rashi is here. He said, "Reisi
l'Rashi zal." Rashi ala Torah, right?
Parshas
Mishpatim, yeah.
Shekosav mohor yuharenu lo yifsuk la mohar kemishpat ish leishto shekosiv la ksuba visa.
This is a very remarkable thing. Again, more on the ksuba side, but it totally fits into what we're talking about here. Rashi says the words in the pasuk mahar yimarena lo isha really signify that you are obligated to offer to marry her, but the way that is formulated in this particular context is give her a ksuvas besulos, i.e., marry her. Like, why not just say yisaena or yakadshena, right? Why say it that way? So he's suggesting that's where the Ramban in his Perush Ala Torah says what. Suva's Rabbanan anyway, so how can it be the Pshat in Mahari Marena? Keep going. That's when he makes his suggestion, pretty radical suggestion. Go ahead. I think he says Velule de Mistafina or something like that. That, oh, maybe that was in the time of Matan Torah, that's what they did, or something like that.
Right?
What are you going to do for the Ram? The Ram says also Ksuvah Drabana. That's his question. So how could it be Pshat in the Pasuk? Just like the Ramban didn't like Rashi, the Rambam shouldn't like it either, so the Ram couldn't. If you say Mari Morena means give her a psula, give her a Ksuvah's psula, i.e., marry her, then that's the makar for the din that the Rambam writes. But the problem with it, what better makor could you have than the pasuk itself, right? The problem is, how could that be the pshat in the pasuk, right? Right? That's what he's asking. So he says at one point, lule de mistafina, or something like that. No? No one's finding it?
It doesn't say lule de mistafina.
What?
It doesn't have that lashon.
Oh, okay. The equivalent of it. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
No.
It's up there, you see. I shall look. Keep going. Mikol Mokom, there you go. Minag, he says like this, Hachanami Nema, but I find he's a little more, he's got Kasa, Rishon, Then there's more, right? I think then he goes on and says something like, And then he goes on to say that it's not so simple. Because this whole idea, okay, you can look at it. This whole idea that you can just say that the pshat and the pasuk, which has impact on halacha, is drawing from a minug, which isn't halachically binding, is like, very disconcerting, right? And very challenging. Okay. But what I want to say is that that's the point. The point is that in the Mefuta situation, he ruined her as a marriage prospect. That's part of the Mechayev. In a way, it's on the border of being the ultimate Kadesha, right? But because, according to the Rambam, you know, it's totally akroy, it's not, it wasn't done, right, as an anti-kiddushin. So you don't have kadesha, but you do have the chiyuv to marry her, and you have the chiyuv to marry her in the way that is the antithesis of pilegesh kadesha, lishitaso of the Rambam, namely, biksuva. So the words maria marena leisha for the Rambam mean marry her maximally in a respectful way that counters, right, the damage that you did. And how do you translate that once Chazal were, you know, determined that the Doraisa idea behind Ksuva expresses itself in Besulas Masayim? The answer is by not skimping, not by being poches mi besula lemana, right, which is nus. The whole point is you're trying to counteract that. So that's where this comes from. Okay. So basically, we've discussed Nida and Lavin. We're going to just instantiate this a little more. So I think Moshe brought to my attention, isn't it interesting, and we'll talk more about this in a second, that the Rambam in Hilchos Ishos Perek Aleph Halacha Dalid also really focuses on him, even though both of them get Malkus, right? You have a language again? Aleph Dalid, yeah. Now the truth is that both of them should get Malkus, right? And probably they both do. So again, this Rabbi Rambam, a Rambam in Perek Tezvav, Hilchos Yisrael Biyah Halacha Beis, actually has a suggestion, a very radical suggestion, if you ask me, but an interesting suggestion, that maybe you could be mechalek between him and her when it comes to pitui. So we'll get back to that in just a minute. But that aside, let's assume for the moment that whenever he gets Malkus, she gets Malkus, like assume, with the exception of the pitui case and the Ramad Ramad for the moment. So it's just interesting why the emphasis here would be on him. I thought that's what you were asking, right? You were asking that? Yeah. So what I thought the answer would be is that since this is presented not in Hilchos Yisurei Biyah, but in Hilchos Ishos, and it's also presented, you know, as the parallel of Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, you know, with the Kodesh Matan Torah and the Mishnah Torah and so on. And the whole point is that what we're saying about, and the context in which we're saying it is all about, you know, the mitzvah of injecting kiddushin prior to nesuin. And of course, you know, when you want to just operate completely outside of ishus, you know, that's even not just the lost opportunity or not doing the mitzvah properly. That is an iser called kadesha. So the focus is on him, just as, again, we're not sure what the Rambam's view is about whether she has a mitzvah of kiddushin. But certainly in the koteret and the emphasis, it's all about him. And in the action, ki kach ish isha v'lo tilakach isha l'ish, it's about him. So I think that too is why the Rambam's emphasis here is very, very clear. Now, a problem in the Rambam, and then I still want to sum up the different Nosa Kalims to get them on the record. Oh, no, before I get to that. So Shua also brought to my attention that it's just very interesting. Shua, that? Yeah. So how come the Rambam says, you know, im ratza hu vihi in Aleph Dalet, as he did in Aleph Aleph, it seems like, you know, superfluous. So number one, I think it's there because, you know, we're supposed to be hearing, you know, Aleph Aleph again and saying, huh, well, didn't we just do this? Because that's part of the whole story here. But in addition to that, what Shua was suggesting, which I like, is that part of what the Rambam is saying in Nara Vesula, which is that in order to be classified as Kadesha, it's got to be a Malachas Machshaves. Again, I don't mean it literally, but it's got to be a Maisa Bechira, it's got to be a Maisa Behaskama, a Maisa Das, as opposed to Akrai. Doesn't mean how often it happens, right? Because if it happens ever, it's happened too much. And really, if the Rambam really is saying that outside of Ishus, you know, Alpidin, this is Nus, so the only thing that neutralizes that is when built in to the case, like Pitui, because she's a Ketana, right? It's just not a Malachas Machsheva. It's not a Maisa. It's not a Maisa Das. It's an Akroi. The Akroi part isn't Lahotzi, you know, Mufkeres or Regila, right? It's Lahotzi that, you know, this is not a challenge to, you know, or something which, you know, even appears on the radar screen of, because it's just, you know, totally idiosyncratic. It's a cry. So it's maybe for that reason that the Rambam also adds the words, right, im ratzahu, im hirtzu, because not that each case he has to, like, there's a ratzon, you know, barometer, you know, that's measuring how much ratzon there is. You know, that's not what I'm saying. What we're saying is that everything other than the structural case of pitui, which is by definition, you know, eina mechina, and so on, even if it's mechina, it's eina mechina because of her age and the circumstances. And every other case, even if lemaisa it's not mechina, it's mechina because of the opposite, because of her age and the circumstance. So I think that again works nicely into that. Now, the only problem with all of this, and it's not such a problem, is the language of the Rambam in Hilchos Isurei Bia Perek Yud Ches Halacha Beis, which some of you mentioned after this year, which is absolutely correct. What's that? Noah? There the Rambam speaks about Zona. And by the way, it is quoted by some of the Nosa Kalim too, as proof for their other notes or alternative reading. What does Rambam say there about Zona? So what's the problem for me? She's here. He says mufkeres lakol. So mufkeres lakol, it does not seem to work into what we've been saying. But of course, what's the answer? If it's not a proof against, then what's the easy way to explain it? But it still needs to be noted. Yeah, because what is the Rambam speaking about in Isurei Bia Perek Yud Ches? What's he speaking about? What's he trying to talk? What is he talking about there?
Zona.
The Rambam wants to know which violations, which Isurei Bia violations create a shame zona. Right? So the Rambam says you should know that even the most extreme case of Kadesha, even the Kadesha that the Ravid, you know, and the Ramban would embrace, right? That's an, obviously, if the Rambam's talking, that's, you know, an anachronistic statement, but you get the idea. Even that does not create a Zona, because this has nothing to do with Zona. This is a Mechayiv of Bia Chutz L'Ishus, or, you know, thumbing your nose at and not appreciating and denying, right, the role that Ishus plays, and so on. So even if you want to take the most, the most extreme case of Kadesha, it's still not going to turn into Nus. Or Zona, I should say. Yeah.
In the case of DJ,
case of?
Beethoven.
Yeah.
According to the Rambam, yeah. The male Mihaya for Kadesha.
So this is what the Rabbi Avram ben Rambam was trying to suggest. But I think it's very dubious. So that's right. I mean, why did you say Kamle Bidraba Minei or something like that? So I guess the point would be that since the Kamle Bidraba Minei isn't applying to her, right? So, I mean, since the Malkus isn't applying to her, maybe that wouldn't be... That's what he'd have to say. If you ask me, Pashtus, the Rambam is... You're talking about the Rambam or Rambam to Rambam? Rambam himself, I think, in the case of Pitu, he thinks that there is no Malkus, period. We'll read inside in a second, Rambam, because he has a question, and his question's a good question, actually. You know, from the language of the Rambam, Medichas Nar Basula, Perek Aleph, what is it, Halacha Yid Aleph? Yeah. So Perek Aleph, Halacha Yid Aleph, so he has a problem, a good problem, an interesting problem, and, you know, his solution is this radical, interesting solution. So he basically says that, you know, maybe we should just get to it. He basically says that he is Chayv Malkus, just she is Ptura. But then your question looms very large, and that is, so what happened to the Kamle Bidraba Minei? So we would have to say for him, if you want to sustain this, is that there's no Kamle Bidraba Minei because the Chayv Malkus doesn't apply to both. Meaning it could apply to both, and it's only not applying. It's not a. It's only. It's like a half a. It's not a full kadesha. It's a kadesha vis-a-vis him, and not vis-a-vis her. It's not pturonesh, right? So what you'd have to say in terms of kamle bidraba minei. Again, I don't want to, you know, get too far afield. But we had some June activity, right, on kamle bidraba minei. In June, when we finished all of our obligations. No. Sorry. Tafasta Marubala Tafasta. I apologize. Not true. Right? We still have Malkus Babaka Bisa Nadas. We finished all but one of our obligations in the first parak, and then went on to do a very credible, you know, two or three dapim in Zeborer, right? So in the end of that first one, we talked about the Mama Lazen Fashas Lazeh. Right, so we talked about the fact that there are two perspectives in Kamle Bidraba Minei generally. You want to say something about this?
The one we like to name first.
Yeah, that would help better here. Right. You want to explain it? Go ahead.
Once you have something so important, it's appropriate to look at the other one. And
right. Meaning the idea, there are two perspectives, broadly speaking, in Kamle Bidraba Minei. One is that it's a more pragmatic thing. I like to call it the subsuming. Now, each one has its own, you know, nuances, different ways of saying it, but the subsuming theory, in other words, the fact that you know, either you only get punished once, or more to the point, your bigger punishment subsumes your smaller one, right? That's one perspective. If that's true, and we're talking about him, you know, his Malkus, his Knas, that her should be irrelevant. You know, the fact that she doesn't get Malkus should be irrelevant. However, the other view is what I call the eclipsing theory, which means basically that, you know, in the context of this greater crime or violation, right, we don't, it doesn't register, the smaller one. In other words, you murdered the man, you know, and you took his nickel, okay, which we'll assume it's more than a shavapruta for the moment, right, which you should discuss. That's another issue in the Mishnah, right? How much is a shavapruta? And the machlokasum be shavai be silah. It's also a conceptual issue. But anyways, so let's say for a moment, you murdered this man and you took his pruta. Right? So we look at it as, you know, he got one onesh already, double jeopardy, right? Or you know, bechlal the murder is the nickel. Or what we really say is, it's obscene to go to court over the nickel, even for the purpose of the heirs, you know, even if pachin ketanim is a good value, because in the context of this capital offense, right, the money, by the way, of course, you understand, it doesn't matter whether it's, I gave the example of the nickel, because I wanted to dramatize it. It could be $1 billion. So what I'm saying is that for that to apply, it's not sufficient that there just be two onshim that he's suffering coincidentally. There has to be a tziruf of some sort of these two actions, and one therefore eclipsing the other. And here what we're saying is that this is an incomplete, on a malchus level at least, this is an incomplete, this isn't a typical kadesha, because a typical kadesha is something which, a violation, is something which is equal for him and for her. This is a muted or a mitigated kadesha. And then maybe for that reason, we just don't look at it in terms of the maisa or as enough of a mitzaref, you know, to be mafkia, let's say, the other heel. But you have to say something like that for Abraham and Rambam, otherwise you're in deep trouble. But at the same time, we already are saying a little bit for Abraham and Rambam, for example, that Tana de Bechiskia may not work. So that may be, or the equivalent of it. But, okay. So let's talk about the Rambam and Tezvav base for a minute. What is the Rambam Tezvav base? What's it talking about? Yeah? Mamzer. Yeah, you wanted to be Madaik in the Rambam itself before, so go ahead. How do you see it? Read it, go ahead. So this is an interesting question to ask now. Right? Mamzer is Chai V'Lavin, and it's Loka. Right? Is there Kadesha in a case where there's no Ishas? Right, that would be the question. Okay, let's think about that. Let's keep going. Oh, okay. So here's where it gets a little bit tricky, right? The Rambam says that you require kidei shubal to get malchus for mamzeres, and absent that, including the case of bavli kidesh, there's no malchus mishum. He adds the words mishum mamzeres. What do you want to say about it, or did you want to say? You want to speak about next line more, okay? Because that's something to say about each of them, but they're also connected. Okay, on the first line that we didn't get to yet, says the Magid Mishnah. Says the Magid Mishnah, wrote Salomar, she'ena loka mishum amzeres, hava loka mishum pnuya. Well, what's the malchus of pnuya? Kadesha, because mostly the Magid Mishnah, with the exception of what he writes on Nara Basula, but it's certainly Magid Mishnah in Ishus reads the Rambam like we did, meaning that anything outside of Kedushin is Kadesha, not just Nus. The Kesef Mishnah takes him to task for that. No, I'm sorry, the Magid Mishnah is fine. Yeah, it's the Kesef Mishnah in the other place. One second. Ukefima shekosavhu beperek rishon mehilchas Ishus shabal Ishav shelo l'shem Kedushin loka min haTorah. Ibn Shabal Kadesha. Al Mishum Lav de Mamzeres Aina Loka Shainakabhalai Vilavin Mishaloka al Biila Belo Kidushin Alakoin Gonabal Mano Zel Das Rabbeinu, which we're about to read in a second, the second half of the Rambam. So the Magid Mishnah drops in. This is also a case of Kadesha, Lishitaso, right? And he says, you are Loka for it, and that's a diuk in the Rambam. If you ask me, but the Rambam doesn't say it, and it's an interesting question. Okay, so if you ask me, it might depend on the following issue. Is a mamzeres isurei bia? Or we'll call it, to use the expression of before, is it chayve lavin? Or is it isurei lavin? I'm using already, I'm anticipating the language of the of Rabbi Ramana Rama. Okay. Meaning, why is a mamzer, you know, asur bibiya? Because it's not a proper marriage candidate. Or is that at least part of the story here? In which case, it's not so posh to me. It goes back to my question about Chayvi Lavan in general. Do Chayvi Lavan, according to the Rama, whether it's Tfisas Kedushin? If you ask me, I would say there's a difference between different Chayvi Lavan. Just like in answer to the question about Nida, I was saying, even Chayvi Krisus Nida? I don't see why there shouldn't be Kadesha, if not for Kamalei Bidraba, I mean, a type issue. Right? But Chayvi Lavan that are off limit because of the relationship not being a marital relationship kind of a problem, maybe again, you know, where do you draw the line? Akum, Chayvi Krisus, right? Nida, in my opinion, push it the other way. Chayvi Lavan, if you ask me, maybe there are two types of Chayvi Lavan. There are Yisurei Lavan and there are Chayvi Lavan, right? I would say the Chayvi Lavan type, it's better and it's worse, by the way, again, for this, like that same phenomenon. In other words, you know, having a relationship with somebody who can't even, like we said, exactly, right, with Akum, is more of a defiance of our thumb in the nose or or in the eye of Ishus, or because it's not a real possibility, less? Right? I just think it's not, but you might be mechalik between Isurei Lavin, I'm using the expression at the moment, meaning candidates, and Chayvei Lavin. So what about Mamzeres? It's not so pashut to me that the Rambam thinks that Mamzer is included in Kadesha. He might just be saying that unlike other Chiyuvim or Isurim, you might think that this one doesn't depend on Kiddushin, but you should know even Mamzer depends on Kiddushin. Because that's what it is. It's an Ishus problem, even on the Isur Bia level, in which case Mimela there's not going to be Kadesha. The Rambam never said this Kadesha, but we'll see in a moment. Rambam thinks that there is. Okay, now let's look at the next part. She'ein lecha, go ahead, Avram. This is where you wanted to come in. She'ein lecha b'chol chayvi labin. Yeah. Okay, good. So what do you want to say about that? This is the Rambam's famous shita. I think I made allusion to it when we talked about the Mechinuch and Minchas Chinuch, Chayvi Krisus and Chayvi Lavin, where the Rambam says that when it comes to Chayvi Lavin, right, that you need Kidesh U'Bol. Not all Rishonim agree. The Ramban disagrees. Ramban says a Maksim Krishaso is unique. There are some cases that are different. But the Ramban says, why should you say that Mamzer and all these other cases are Dafka in the framework of Kiddushin? They shouldn't be in the framework of Kiddushin. In a way, speaking of parallel opposites, is this a coincidence? I wonder. I don't think so, obviously. The Rambam has this very, with the exception of Almana L'Kohen Gadol, right? Because that's a dinin, v'hu b'sula me'ameha, not just Yisa, but any, you know, physical, he can only physically be involved with that, in that situation. Okay. Everything else, says the Rambam, when it comes to Chayvi Lavin, right, is only within the Malkus, not the Isur, but the Malkus is only within Ishus. Very interesting. Why? So the Ramban doesn't like it. And he tries, how do you know? Nela, you know, Masu Grishoso says Kiyikach. A few others say, some of the Isurei Kuhuna say Kiyikach. The Magen Mishnah quotes, and Kesel Mishnah and Magen Mishnah both quote the Ramban. Right, then they start quoting the Rambam to Rambam. Right, how does the Rambam know this? Okay, what did you want to say about it? And then I'll tell you what I'm saying. Want to say about it? If there's anything left, you might just have said it all. What do you want to say? What do you think?
It's the question.
Why is Kadesha Asur? Right. Yeah. So that's what. So two things I think are very. Like one is the implicit discussion of Rambam to Rambam, but it's not explicit, and that is, how come Kadesha? Why is Kadesha allowed to be an exception to this rule where you have Malkus, Shelo B'Kiddushin? Right, according to the Rambam, you're always Chayvi Lavin. It's always with the one exception of Almana, right, L'Kohen Gadol. That's very strange. Why should it be so? You always need the added element. Right? I'm asking the second question in this. Why does the Rambam think any of this at all anyway? So hopefully these will overlap. what's the answer to the question that Avram is bothered by that kind of is implicitly discussed? What's the answer? Again, it's almost like that Lecha Mishnah in Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin. I'm sorry, what did you say? Distinction between? In a way, yeah, exactly. But for similar reasons, meaning what we're saying is two things. Number one, I mean, that's the Hagdara of Kadesha. What are you going to say? Kadesha is only Asura in the context of marriage.